so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
You'll be blessed. Amen. Book of Matthew. I started a series 3 weeks ago entitled You Matter. And we talked about You Matter. Then last week we talked about They Matter. And today I want to talk about You Matter to Him. Who? God. You matter to Him. Amen. And if you can ever recognize that you matter to Him. Now, today is Pentecost Sunday, and which means that 40 days after Easter is the day that the Holy Ghost fell and people were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I want you to know on this Pentecost Sunday that you matter to Him. Amen? In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 18 is where we're going to go. When you get there, say amen. Amen. That's the book of Matthew. That's in the New Testament. If you can't find Matthew, it means you ain't cracked your Bible like ever. It said, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway," I want you to underline, well, immediately, the King James Version said, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Father, I pray that you would grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is the anointing. God, help us to see, recognize, and realize that we matter to you and that we matter to one another. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were fishermen. Their fathers were fishermen. Their grandfathers were probably fishermen. Because in those days, you inherited your trade from your father. You inherit, and many times, even today, you will inherit some of the things from your father. I mean, my dad was a pastor, but I never dreamed and never wanted to be a pastor. When I say I never dreamed, I would have said I never had the nightmare of wanting to be a pastor. And I won't go all into that, but the Lord changed it all around. But the other side of that was my dad only pastored very small churches, so up until I was an adult, he never pastored what we call full time, where his only job was the church. And so he was a laborer. And I know I didn't want to be a laborer. Nothing wrong with being a laborer unless if that's all you can do, praise God. Everybody, we all need them. However, I had higher dreams and higher hopes than being a laborer, and I did that before I started pastoring. I was climbing up the corporate ladder. But in those days, who you were and what you did with your life usually was defined by what family you were born into. And if you're not careful, you'll let that same process dictate who you are today. If you're not careful, well, you know, Pastor, my mom and daddy, their whole family was a Jerry Springer episode, so I guess I'm destined for my life to be a Jerry Springer episode. The devil's a liar. You don't have to live in a dilapidated state. You don't have to live in a state of addiction. You don't have to live in a state of abuse, because God came to set you free. And just because your family is one way, I want you to know that the blood of Jesus is stronger than your gene pool. That the blood of Jesus is stronger than whatever you've been through, whatever generational curses might have been upon your life. They can be broken by the power of the Holy Spirit. But in order order for that to happen, you also got to transform your mind. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when your mind gets renewed, you begin to understand that I matter. When you get your mind renewed, you begin to understand that Jesus died so that I might live. You begin to understand that Jesus died so I don't have to live the same way the family that I was born in. Doesn't mean that that's got to, history's got to repeat itself in my life. Just because mom and daddy got divorced doesn't mean that I got to. Just because my crazy aunt was crazy doesn't mean I'm going to be crazy. Just because my uncle was a drunk doesn't mean that I'm going to be a drunk. In the name of Jesus, I matter to him. Therefore, I am set free and I will not follow in the same footsteps as everybody said my family was. I don't care if your family was the worst family on the block. You can have it changed. So we want to focus for a few moments today on these four guys, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. Maybe they loved fishing. Maybe they loved waking up before the sun came up. Maybe they enjoyed having to compete with other fishermen for the best places to fish. Maybe they enjoyed the laborious task of constantly untangling and mending broken nets. Maybe they enjoyed the smell of dead fish. Maybe they enjoyed coming home to their wives and smelling like dead fish. Maybe, just maybe, their wives were weird and the smelly fish was the cologne that they enjoyed. Maybe. I know of a woman, she says, I kind of like the smell of dead skunk. Now, if that's you, please don't raise your hand, because I'm going to talk about you if you do. But maybe they enjoyed it. Maybe they enjoyed having fish guts on their clothes. Maybe they enjoyed it when they would come home and say, hi, honey, I'm home. And maybe they enjoyed small wages that came with being a fisherman. Sometimes going out all night or all day long and catching absolutely nothing. Maybe they enjoyed all that, but I doubt it. How do you doubt it? Because I know people. And how many of you absolutely love your jobs? And I'm looking around at the folks who work here. Yeah. If your boss is in the building, you need to go and raise your hand. Yeah, I love my job. But Pastor, I don't want to lie. Speak those things that aren't as though they were. It's biblical. Hallelujah. Yes, I love my job. I love my boss. Hallelujah. I'm praying for him that he gets saved. But anyway, let me move on. A recent Gallup poll found that 70% of Americans American workers are disengaged from their jobs. Of the 100 million people who hold jobs in America, that the survey found that 30 million are actively engaged and 50 million are not engaged, and 20 million of the 50 million are actively disengaged with their job. They go and do the least amount of work in order not to get fired so that they can just have a paycheck. And that's a lot of us. But let me tell you something. I could preach on this for a little while. What you need to do is quit working for the person you're working for. Don't quit. Start working as if you're working for the Lord. And then your whole thing will change. I believe that Peter, Andrew, James, and John were probably either one of the 70% who didn't really like their job all that much, or possibly even the 20% who actually hated their job. How many wants to do what your daddy did? Most of the time, that's not the case. But take a look at Matthew 4:20, and the Bible says they straightway left their nets and followed him. I mean, they didn't have to be talked into it. They went, what? Sure, let's go. They looked around possibly, seen the scale, seen the laborious work, and go, okay, it's certainly got to be better than this. These guys couldn't wait to get off that boat. They didn't bat an eye. They didn't even say goodbye. They didn't even offer a resignation. You know, I believe, and it's the right thing to do, that you ought to give a notice at the job. Never, let me help some of you, never burn a bridge. Always leave right, because in the season that you leave and the season that you enter are connected. If you leave wrong, you're probably entering wrong. Oh, y'all can't hear me. If you leave one season wrong, you're probably entering a new season wrong. So try to leave right. Try to leave right. Give them a 2 weeks notice. Not like the one guy. I said, did you give a 2 weeks notice? He said, yeah. I said, oh, that's good. He said, in 2 weeks, they're going to notice I'm gone. And then I looked at him and said, well, that's sad that it's going to take them 2 weeks to even know you were gone. You must have been a sorry worker. Come on, somebody. But here's why they were so willing to drop the family business and leave their fathers with their broken net. Why? Because number one is this, that they began to understand that my life has purpose. The number one question that I get from everybody, or from most people, is what has God called me to do? Before you ask me, let me tell you, I don't know the specifics of what God's called you to do. But here's what I do know, is that your life does have purpose. And in order, in the context of our message, that you matter to Him, you matter to Him because God has put a purpose inside of you. When you were fearfully and wonderfully made in your mother's womb, before the very foundation, He put purpose in you, and then the Holy Spirit is here to help guide you and direct you to that purpose. They understood, these four boys understood and realized a better opportunity when they saw it, and they were going to they weren't going to let anything stand in their way of that opportunity. They realized that their life had a higher purpose. My God, I want you to understand that. When you begin to understand your life has a higher purpose, then you begin to realize, okay, this ain't my lot in life. My youngest daughter, she was singing on the worship team today. She was the one over here on the, those of you who don't know, that was my youngest daughter that was singing over here on the far right. And she's in college, and so she's home for college. And here's what she told me. She said, Dad, I want to be a teacher. Or no, she didn't say I want. She said, Dad, I'm going to be a teacher. Well, my first thought is what many parents who pay for college think. I thought, wait a minute. I said, all right, well, what kind of teacher do you want to be? She said, I'm going to be a secondary mathematics teacher. I went, wow, okay. But honey, it doesn't compute. I'm going to pay $80,000 for you to have a job that pays you $30,000. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I was trying to honestly talk her out of it. Now, I think teachers ought to get a lot paid a lot more, not just because mine's about to be, because we pay entertainers a lot more than we pay folks who train up our children. But that's just me. However, but here's what she said. She said, but Dad, she said, I know that I'm called to lead worship. And worship leaders don't make much money either. She said, but so if I'm a teacher, I can teach on the week and have my nights and weekends free so I can lead worship. I went, whoa. I'm sold. Because what she's saying is that my job, my teaching is not my calling. My calling is to lead worship. And so my teaching is a way for me to make money in order to do what I'm called to do. Somebody, are you hearing me? You got to understand that just because your job has to be able, you have to be able to do it well and do it for the glory of God, because as you do it, it gives you the ability to do the other things that you are called to do. And just maybe you were called to do the job that you're doing. Amen. I'm preaching better than your amen, but that's all right. Jesus told them, I'm going to make you into fishers of men, not just stinking old fish. I'm going to cause your life to have meaning. See, it is so important for you to understand that you matter to Him and that your life has meaning. Because when you recognize your life has meaning, all the other stuff that you go through, it is just part of getting to where God wants you to be. That this is not your lot in life. This is where you're at maybe right now. Is not the sum total of your life. That God has a higher purpose beyond the slime, beyond the fish guts, beyond the scales, the broken nets, beyond the storms on the sea, beyond the late nights and the fruitless labors. He said, your life is about to change. Oh, good gracious, somebody hear me. When you begin to understand that you matter to Him, you understand that your life is in a constant state of change because He's changing you from what you were to what He wants you to be. I'm telling you, I've been serving God for 30 years, but I want you to know that I still recognize that my life is in a constant change because I have not yet achieved what God has called me to be. I'm doing what He's called me to do, but I'm still not there yet. I'm still working on the process. He's still working on me. And I recognize that my life, just like your life, has meaning and it has purpose. And it is your job and my job to do everything that we can to fulfill that purpose. He said, your life is about to change. Everything they said you would be is about to be erased. Everything they said about you. How many of you ever was told, oh, you'll never amount to anything? The devil's a liar. Oh, you'll never be more than what you are right now. You a liar. The devil's a liar. One of the greatest blessings of my life is when I see somebody who was one way, but through the Holy Spirit and the Lord, they become somebody else. Matter of fact, he just blessed me. I won't call him his name before. I don't want to embarrass him. But today, about 3 or 4 years ago, a man, I don't know how long it's been, but somebody came and got saved here. And I'm telling you, they were rough-looking folk. They were a rough-looking guy, and rough, just rough. And I was standing by him today. Some of y'all going to start figuring it out. I was standing by him today, and he said, can you believe they're going to let me take up the offering today? Hallelujah. I thought to myself, boy, 4 years ago I wouldn't. I thought you'd been taking some out. You know? Come on, somebody. What is that? That's the power of change. That's the power of recognizing that God has a higher purpose for your life. That where you are right now is not the sum total of what you're to be. That God's got purpose in your life. And you have the power through Him to do it. Listen to me. Everything they said about you. Here's what Jesus was saying to the sons of Zebedee. To the sons of thunder. Here's what He was saying to Simon and Peter. He said unto them. He said, I'm about to change your life. And the things they said about you, they're about to be erased. Your past. What past? Your past is no longer going to determine your future. Somebody hear me. Your past doesn't have to determine your future. You're a new person. You've been called by God. You've been resurrected by the power of His Holy Spirit. And just because you were one way for a long time doesn't mean that you got to stay that way, because the anointing of God, the blood of Jesus, changes your life and you become something new, something wonderful, something that you can be proud of as God begins to move in your life. It is no longer going to determine your future. Who you were before is not who you're going to be now. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter who your daddy was. Doesn't matter if you didn't know your daddy. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what was prearranged for you. The stink, the slime, the junk that was predetermined for your life. It is no longer has a hold on you. See, when I married my wife, if she went, I don't know if I'll be able to say this in the 11 o'clock service because it'll be on video. But when I married my wife, if we went the way of her family, was heathens, was dysfunctional. But thank God something got a hold of her when she was 15 years old. And they would punish her and not let her go to church was her punishment. Now listen to me, church folk. That's the last thing you ought to be punishing your children with, is not let them go to the house of God. But they wasn't church folks. They were heathens. And if she would have went the same way, but at 15 years of age, she recognized that her life was had a higher purpose. Can I tell you that my dad, who's gone on to be with the Lord now, out of all of the children, he was the only one that served the Lord for many, many years. But you see, his dad was a drunk. His mom was a Christian, but his dad was a drunk and would beat them and made my dad quit school in the seventh grade and get a job so that he could take his money and drink it all up. But something happened to my dad around 18 or 19 years of age that he came into an encounter with God, and it changed his life. And he said, I don't care. Everybody else might be like this. My uncles might be this way. My siblings might be this way. But that's not what God's called us to be. And I'm going to do and be what God has called me to be. My God, somebody hear me. Hey, your siblings do not determine your destiny. Your mama, your daddy does not determine your destiny. God has already determined it. You just got to see it, and you got to begin to walk it out in faith in Jesus Christ. You matter to him. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm this way because of the way I was raised. Well, I understand that. But this straightens out your stinking thinking. That's why the devil don't want you to be a part of this. You begin to read stuff that that is contrary to the way that you was raised. Uh-huh. You see, how many of you know, I'm not really talking about a job here, but what we are really looking at is life and how we live it. You know, it really is something what people can get used to and even comfortable with. I'm going to say that again. It's really something what people can get used to and even comfortable with. And people, you know, and I understand this process, but we've been learned to cope with life. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible said, blessed are those who cope. It's not what the Bible says. You've been made folks who will cope. Now, and I understand there is a blessing in understanding, learning how to cope. But God called us to be more than conquerors. Conquerors, that means takes that thing by the throat. What's a conqueror? A conqueror is somebody that overcomes. Conqueror is something that's, if you're a conqueror, that means there's something to be conquered, right? See, I'm this way because I grew up this way. That devil's a liar. I do this because my daddy did this. That devil's a liar. I act this way because this is how my family acts. The devil's a liar. It's generational. The devil's a liar. Break it in the name of Jesus. Reminds me, I've told this story many times, but it fits so well. On a Thanksgiving, the mother was in there preparing this meal, and she cut the end of this ham off. And her daughter said, Mom, why do you cut off the end of the ham every year? And the mom said, you know, I don't know. My mom did it. Well, let's go ask Mom. Let's go ask Grandma. So they went in there and said, Grandma, why did you always cut the ham at this certain level every year? She goes, you know, I don't know. My mom did it. Well, great-grandma was on the front porch. Let's go check with her. So she went out there and said, great-grandma, why did you always cut the ham off at this level every year? Because now all of us do it. Why did you do that? She goes, it's simple. The pan wasn't big enough. And they've been wasting part of the ham because the pan wasn't big enough. See, now, I've come by to tell some of you that I'm sorry that your vision of your mother wasn't big enough, and the vision of your daddy wasn't big enough, and the vision of your teachers wasn't big enough. But God didn't give you that vision just to sit in sour and soak. I'm going to tell you, it's great beyond. You matter to him. He's got purpose in your life. I'm sorry, just because mama didn't do it doesn't mean that you can't do it. Listen, let me tell you this. I remember, I got to be careful. Boy, I got to change some things I say in the 11 o'clock service because we'll be live and some folks will get mad. And I don't want to get death threats from my family. Because here's what I know. When we were over there in that little old building, some of y'all have no idea. Our old church, it was about as big as this section, maybe. You remember? Maybe. We could see the 180 packed. That's it. We got more than that in here this morning. And I remember when we started building this, my daddy would say, "Well, Ronnie, son, why would you want to go in debt and build a bigger church? Lord, son, this is the bigger church than any of us have ever pastored. You ought to just sit there and just ride it out till you go into retirement for 40 years. I was like, "But Dad, people are still dying and going to hell. We can't get any more folks in this church. So we got to make a place for them to come. We got to make a place for them to be able to come and get ministered to." "Well, but son, I mean, you know," and some folks even told me, some of my family, "Oh, you just trying to be a big shot." No. Listen, if you're not careful, you'll let family members derail your dream. You'll let family members derail your destiny. Because I don't want to be bigger than what God's called me, but I don't want to be smaller than what God's called me either. And the problem with most of us is not that the vision is bigger. Most of us, we don't see the vision because we don't realize that we matter to Him. But Jesus told these four young men, "I'm going to elevate your status." Point number two. I'm going to elevate your status. How many would like your status to be elevated? Huh? Listen, we don't do what we do in order for our status to be elevated. We do what we do because God called us to do it. And if you do what God's called you to do, the repercussions, the offspring of that is an elevated status. Hallelujah to God. See, I'm going to use your life to do something that no one in this world would have ever imagined from you. So hear me. God said, "I'm going to do something in you that nobody would ever imagine from you." Listen, I can tell you, if I die tomorrow, and God forbid, but if I die tomorrow, I have already achieved more than I ever dreamed that I would. I've already been more places than I ever dreamed I would. I've already done. When I was a kid, but here's the problem. See, here's the thing. When the Lord called me to pastor, here's what I said to the Lord. I started pastoring this little small church in Blanchetown, Florida. Where's that at? Go to the end of the earth. Take a left. You're almost there. And I was there. And I began to pray. Here's what I prayed. "Ron, God, if you would just give me 100 people to pastor, I'll pastor them people and I'll just serve you the rest of my life, Lord." Why? Because that was bigger than anything that I'd ever been a part of. But then we started running 75, 80. I was like, "Well, maybe I could handle 125. And then I came here. And then when I came here, we went back down to 40. I was like, what? That's not a promotion, Lord. And we started running 45. And then we got up to 100. I go, "Well, Lord, maybe I could handle 125. And then we got to be 110, 120. I go, "Well, maybe I could handle 175. Maybe I could handle 200. And what are you saying? As I moved and began to walk into those areas, God continually elevated the lid that I had placed on myself. Some of you have allowed your mother, your daddy, a spouse, an abuser, whomever, to put a lid on you. I've come by to tell you today that the devil is a liar. Yours is the kingdom and thine is the glory forever and ever. You don't have to stay where other people placed you, where other people put you. Let the Lord lift up your lid." Help me, Jesus. People said, "You're never going to accomplish much. You were just a fisherman's kid. All you were good at was for mending nets and cleaning fish." But Jesus said, "I'm going to use you to raise up a church that will change the world forever. You're about to make more of a difference on this world and the future generations than any man or woman has in history." That's what Jesus was saying to these people. He said, when they say my name, they will also say your name. When they talk about Jesus, they're also going to be talking about Peter, Andrew, James, John. Why? Because you matter to Him. People are going to listen to what you have to say now. They will read your writings all over the world for generations to come. You may not matter to them right now, but because you matter to me, Jesus said, The world will find out what your truest potential really is. Hallelujah. Point number three is his call to them was simple. Follow me. That's his call to you. Follow me. Follow me. And I'm not talking about like from a distance. See, some of us, stand up, John. Some of us want to follow, like, let's just say John was Jesus, and I'm saying let's just say because we know he ain't. But some of us want to follow Jesus from over here. And the problem with that is there are things that get in our way. The pulpit's in my way right now. I barely can see him. I can see him. Maybe it's a marriage that got in your way. Maybe it's a heart hurt that got in your way. Maybe it's what people said about you that's got in the way. But you see, the thing is if you will do, God's, when Jesus said, follow me, he means get on my hip pocket. Get on my hip pocket. Because then wherever I go, you're going to go. And don't let anything or anybody come in between you and me. Because if you'll just follow me, I'm going to take you to places you never thought was possible. I'm going to take you to a place of peace. I'm going to take you to a place of joy. I'm going to take you to a place where depression can't get in there. But hey, come on. Let's go this way. I know I'm leading him right now. Come here, Rodney. Come here, Rodney. Come here and get in between us. But see, the problem is we let stuff get in between us. But at some point in time, if you'll just call on him and nudge out everything else that's not of him. Are you listening to me? Nudge out everything. Nudge out everything. Nudge out everything that is not of God. And if you'll just hold on to him, he'll lead you. My God. Come here, Rodney. Oh, but I love Jesus. Oh, but Lord, I need a spouse. Lord, I need a spouse much prettier than the one I'm following. Come here, Jim. Come here, Jim. Quick. Come here, Jim. But Lord, man, I got this new job now. Lord, I got this new job. And you see what's happening? I'm getting further and further, and more obstacles are getting in my way. But what you need to do is, God, I don't care if I don't have no job. No, you need one. God, I don't care if I got no spouse. You need one. God, I got to get straight up here. I got to be in your hip pocket. Because I know you're going to take me where I go. Nobody else can take me. Nobody else can take me where you're going to take me. So Jesus said, simply follow me. Lay down the nets, put down the fish, set aside who you were before and follow me. Your past is no longer your present. I told this story before when I went back to my 25th high school reunion. I know y'all can't believe I've been out of high school that long. Thank you. All three of you. But I went back to my 25th high school reunion. And they found out what I do. And they went. Whew. We were sitting at a table with a girl named Lisa. And my wife was sitting there. And I was dressed, you know. And they said, really, Ronnie? A preacher? I go, yeah. And each person said, I'd have never thunk it. And then one of them got up enough nerve to ask my wife, well, is he any good? And my wife said, well, I think he is. Then they said, well, what size church do you have? Back then we was running about 400. I said, well, we run about 400, 450. They said, wait a minute, 400 people come to hear what you got to say? I go, no, it's all the other things that they come to hear, not me, but. But the fact is, the Lord made me the pastor of the church. What are you saying? Your past is no longer your present. There are some people who can't picture you where God wants to take you. My God. But don't you let that hold you back because you matter to him. It don't matter what their vision of you is. What is your vision of you? And what is God's vision of you? Whew. My God, somebody hear me. I don't want to single nobody out, but I just come by to tell some folks that it doesn't matter what your addiction was.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what your addiction. Let me just ask this question. Everybody who's ever been addicted to something, come on, lift your hand. Mm-hmm. Now I want everybody looking around. Keep them up for a minute. Why? Because I want. Now it's not that I'm trying to sell you out. I'm trying to get folks who are still struggling. All right. Now let me ask you this. Everybody, put your hand down. Now everybody who you were addicted, but you are no longer. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And let me just go on record that the same God that did it for this one and that one and that one and this one and that one and that one and that one is the same God that can do it for you. Your past is no longer your present. Your past is just that. It is in the past. It is no longer part of who you are. Hallelujah. Come on, help me close. You thought you would never escape it, but you did. You thought you would never get over it. Today's a good day to get over what you've been going through. You thought it would define who you were and who your children were going to be. That devil is a liar. Jesus said that he has a new identity for you. You're about to go through a spiritual transformation. I don't know why I'm on this. Let me say this. The addictions that I personally had in my life, there were some, I'll never forget the Sunday that I got saved. It was a Sunday night. And when I got saved, some of those addictions, poof, boom, gone. Miraculously, I'm like, yeah. But then some, Pete, didn't go away like that. Sometimes it seemed like I'd take two steps forward and three steps back. But I kept working on it. I kept walking with Jesus. And I kept walking with Jesus. Come on. I kept walking with Jesus. I kept walking with Jesus. And I kept walking with Jesus. And then I'd take two or three steps back. And Jesus said, no, keep on walking with me. And then I'd get weak. And Jesus would hold me up. Sometimes I didn't want to walk any longer. But Jesus would walk with me. How strong are you feeling today? You feeling pretty strong? Sometimes I couldn't walk myself.
Okay.
And when I couldn't walk myself, Jesus would carry me. And the same God that carried me is the same God that'll carry you. Is the same God that'll carry you. It's the same God. He's no respecter person. Come on, give him praise in this house. Hey. Come on, give him praise. Hey. Just hang with me just a moment. Just hang with me. Stay there. I'm done. Simon, Peter, his name was Simon, but Jesus called him Peter. He spoke Shakata Rosa. He spoke to his potential. Peter meant rock. Wait a minute. He called him Peter even before Peter denied him. Because Jesus said, I'm going to talk to your potential. I'm not going to talk to where you are. I'm going to talk to your potential. I'm going to speak those things that aren't as though they were. Ah, you see, Dwayne Johnson ain't got nothing on Peter. He said, you are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ha! Come on, stand with me all across this building. Ha! Hallelujah, Lord. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the glory.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.